We have a living hope found in the Word of God and found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His Word is alive, and we thank the Lord as we turn to His Word today. I'd like for us to look into Mark chapter number 4 this morning, the Gospel of Mark. This particular account that I'd like for us to look at is in what we call the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three in particular have written about certain events in the life of Christ. And we find in this event that Mark wrote of concerning the Lord, I'm going to use some of the other, but a little more condensed, if you would, as we think about the things of God. He's talking today about the matter of the sower and the seed and the soils. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'd like for us to look at this today in light of who we are in the world and in Christ, or whether we be in Christ, in the condition of the world today. We see a world, as we mentioned, a world in chaos. There are many people today strong in their faith, standing for the things of God. I think about, again, Charlie Kirk standing for his belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and dying as a martyr for his faith. Today rejoicing because he lives, because Christ lives. Others who have given themselves their life for the cause of Christ are rejoicing today. And you and I are here doing the work of the Lord, and we don't know when God may take us out by way of hatred from Satan, by way of the Lord calling us up at any moment in time. Of course, the rapture could take place, but we need to be ready and prepared for that. We need to understand what our mission is here on this earth as a believer. What has God left us here to do until He calls for us collectively or individually? And again, not be afraid to stand up for what we believe in. Jesus is speaking in this particular portion of Scripture, and I'll begin in verse number 1 of Mark chapter 4. Mark, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." I want to stop for just a moment. He taught the crowd by parables. That's what Mark says, and we find this to be a parable. Again, a parable is made of two words in the Greek. Para means alongside of, and bole means to throw. So he threw something alongside of what he was saying. What we find is oftentimes mentioned, someone says, well, it's a metaphor. He's given a story. It's what he's putting out there. And for the believer, we can see the truth of it. For those who are not certain of the Word of God, therein lies the problem. So let us look at what the Lord says in verse number 3, Christ speaking. "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." Now he's going to explain this to those disciples. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth in the words, forsake, immediately they are offended. And for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of the other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let us pray once again this morning. Father, we pray today that this parable would find its way in our hearts as we open our ears today to the Word of God. We pray the seed that was sown by the Lord would be received with joy in our heart, in a sense, not something that's short term, but that is eternal, dear God. That it would take root in the life of the hearer today, that it would bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And Lord, help us to continue to do thy will, to share thy word, and to tell others about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We see this parable dealing with four types of soil Jesus mentions. Oftentimes we think about, and we can in this look, as he said, the parable is given as a earthly meaning with a heavenly value. Something that someone can identify with. We can identify with seed. We can identify with soil. We can identify with the types, if you would, of the ground, the condition of the ground. And we can see this. Now, this the matter, as he mentions, in this particular situation, these are the mysteries of God. It's the mystery, if you would. That word mysterion means a hidden sacred truth that can only be revealed by God. It's a truth that only God can make clear. It's something that's given that without having an understanding by way of the Spirit, it will be missed. It's a simple story. The sower, of course, sows the word of God. In verse 13, it says, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. In Luke, one of the synoptic writers, he says that in verse number 11 of chapter 8 that the word sown is the word of God. And this is what we see. So Jesus has given out this word, and you have the hearers. There's four different ones, and three of those hear, but they don't hear. And Jesus said they have eyes to see with, but they don't see. They don't perceive the spiritual things. Today in this world in which we live, we see a world of light and a world of darkness. We've seen in this past week, darkness has reared its head to put out a light. But the light wasn't put out. The light's brighter today than it's ever been. This man's faith that he died for is sight today. He sees the one that he had believed in. And you and I, as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we walk by faith. But we're in a dark world, but we're not in darkness. Why? Because we have the light of the Word of God to guide us, folks. We thank the Lord today for the Word of God. And His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and He will direct and guide our path. Now, that's not to say that we may not be confronted with evil. But what we find is this comes by way of receiving the seed, the precious Word of God. So let's look at what's being said about the four types of souls, if you would, or even the hearts. He says that there's the soul, some fell by the wayside. The way in the word that's used, the hadas, in the way is a road. It's a road. Think about that. A road is traveled by, in that day and time, people trampled the path. No vehicles. Maybe they had an ox-drawn cart or something of that nature. But the road was compacted. People traveled the way, this wayside. It was not a place to plant seed, let's put it that way. Could you imagine today dropping seed on a roadside? It's not going to happen. It's not going to take root. There's nothing that's going to happen with this, and it's not going to be productive. And he says that the fowls of the air came and devoured this. The fowls of the air are later attributed to Satan. The birds came. Satan comes to take. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what Peter says. And we find that he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, to take away the things of God. While the Word of God, which is seed, is being sown, Satan would like to come and take it away in a split second. In the midst of the teaching of the preaching of the Word of God, your mind begins to think about something else. What happened? Oh, yeah, this story reminds me of something that happened years ago, and you become oblivious to what's being said. He's a master of doing that. But the spiritual mind is on guard, and we understand that the Word of God is precious, and we have to open our minds and hearts to receive it. We know that we have this competition from Satan trying to take it away. So how do we guard against that? We ask the Lord to help us. We ask Him, Lord, to help me to stay focused. Even you think about reading your Bible sometimes. I don't know where you are in your daily or weekly, monthly reading, but you should read God's Word every day. It's the bread of life. It feeds the believer. We need that. Even in that, we can sit down and begin to read the Bible and the phone rings or something happens or whatever it is. So we need to guard that time. We may ought to start at an early time while everything's quiet. What am I saying? I'm saying we have the ability to see what Satan is trying to do, and you and I need to work against that. What's the best time for you to have your daily devotion with the Lord? Is it early in the morning? Is it right before bedtime? What is good? Different people have different ways. Someone said, well, you need to do this at a certain hour. Some people can't do that at that hour. You need to find out what's best for you. But you know that the enemy wants to take that away. And you can begin to read, and your mind, again, can begin to drift, and that's when you need to lay it down. You need to just stop. Say, okay, Lord, I'll come back at a different hour. But we have to guard ourselves against the devil. We know that. His desire is to take away the seed of God. This path whereby the seed has fallen is a trampled place, is compacted, it's not going to receive the seed, and that's the way some hearts are. They're hard. You're talking about an unbeliever. His heart is not tender to the things of God. That's why we must pray for others. We must pray that the Lord would open their ears, open their hearts, help them to come to the understanding of what's being said. Paul talked about this, writing into those in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, we find this in the second chapter in verse number 14. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. See, you and I, we have a nature of Adam, bent toward Adam. That's the natural man. We're created Adam was created in the image of God. Yes, he was. But he sinned. And now Adam, excuse me, in being a descendant of him, we're all sinners. So our natural ability and our natural talent is against the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You talk with someone about the Bible sometimes and it being the Word of God, and it's completely, as they say, it's just over their head. I don't understand. I've tried to read the Bible. I don't understand anything about it. Well, true, the natural man cannot understand until the Spirit of God reveals that to him. Don't misunderstand me that it's not something that's impossible. That's why I say in passing out Bible tracts, it's not that the natural man couldn't pick up the Bible tract and the Spirit of God began to work in his heart and he see that this is me. I'm lost. If I die in my sin, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be separated from God for eternity, and hell's not the end. Hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. But the Spirit of God can work in and through the Word of God. But the natural man must come to that, to the Word of God, expecting or looking for that. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, it says, because they are spiritually discerned. The Word of God will not return void. It will accomplish what it's set to do. That's why we need to pray for the lost. We need to witness to the lost. And we need to do these things. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. What do you mean? He can take something that's in today's world of technology and trying to be on the cutting edge of everything that's new. He's talking about something as simple as a seed being planted. Seems like to me most anyone could understand that. The Word of God is like a seed. If it's sown in the right soil, if the soil is prepared for this seed, that seed could be sown, and if the seed is watered and the sun will do its part, that's the Lord's work, then that seed will begin to germinate and grow, but it's not going to grow on a pathway. In a road where it's been trampled, we can see that. It's not going to happen. The fowl of the air, they come and they take away the seed as it's sown. This is what he said in verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Just that quick. Just that quick. That's why, again, we can be a witness for the Lord, and we should be and need be, and we meet someone, and maybe we confront them. Maybe we hand them a tract. Maybe we begin to talk to them about the Lord, and they say, I've often asked, I said, will you read this? Will you just read this? It may be at a drive-in window. You drive up to get something, and I've said, may I give you something? Most people, I've never had, as I can remember, nobody said, no, I don't want anything. Most people say, sure, can I give you this? Would you mind reading it? And by the way, here's the next car coming up. What happens? They lay it aside. See, Satan, he'll take that away. But if we purpose in our minds and hearts, and this is what we're saying, so you've got the heart that's so cared with the cares of the world, we'll see in just a moment. But Satan is working. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. He's talking about the other heart now, this other type of people. Jesus again talking with his disciples, these people. Other than you, you know the spiritual thing, but there are people who are followers, they're listening, they have come, but this is the type of heart that they have. It's like stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh boy, was that good or what? Where is it going to be tomorrow? We'll follow there. Oh, he fed 5,000, yeah, we'll go there. He healed this, we'll go there. He had these people, and this word was falling, and just immediately it seems that the seed was taking root and growing, but it didn't last. These are they which are on stony ground. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution ariseth from the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They hear the word of God, preached. They take it and so happy. Oh, yes, I'm just on fire. But then something offends them about the Word of God. And what we find is, I think, in looking at our nation today and trying to size up some of the things we see and the movements that we've called revival, what's happened to these things? By the way, what is a revival? Is it resuscitation? And I'm not being ugly. We got caught up into this kind of professional church age, and some of it's still going on today, where we had this set plan meetings at a certain day and a certain time, and that's the only time God's going to work is when we have revival, and we want to get people in to hear the word, and we're going to get the music going, and we're going to have this revival, whether it be a 3-day or 7-day revival, and then we all get all excited about it, and what happens? What happens? Some people, they say, well, I got saved and I got baptized. Where are you today? Got offended at the word. Why? Only God knows who's been saved. But the thing about it is, it just took root for just a moment. It was a flash and burn, flash and fizzle kind of thing. And this is what he's speaking of. It's of no value. But when that seed is planted in a proper soil and it begins to grow, you're going to see a life change. It's not to say that we're perfect. We're still sinners in a sinful world, and yet when we do sin, thank God we can have our robes washed again in the blood of the Lord we sang about and have them made spotless. He says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, we have that promise. And it works every day, all day, throughout the day. Because sometimes it's tough in this world. But for that seed that has just popped up all of a sudden and is so excited, he says, and this is what is going on. They immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. This short time, and they fall over the word of God. It didn't last. It's not real. And this is a danger. They have no root in themselves. There's a thing. There's no root in themselves. And these are they which are sown among the thorns. You've got those who were professing. Again, professing to be Christians but not possessing. Professing Christ but not possessing Christ. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. That begs the question again. We claim that we're a Christian nation. What does that mean? What does it mean? We've got cults. We have people who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're talking about the incarnate Son of God, and yet they claim to be a Christian. That's law of non-contradiction. You can't have Christ as your Savior if he's not born of the virgin birth. That Christ that they're speaking of as a prophet is not the Christ that the Bible speaks of. That's not a Christian. A Christian is a born-again believer by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, believing in the Son of God and his work that he did on Calvary. So this is what we have. You've got this one that springs up, no root. And then there are those, he says, that these are they which are among the thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of the world. They come, they hear the word of God, again, is given. That's what he said. Luke says that this word is the word of God. They don't respond to the word of God because the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, we could say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, the pride of life, these things take this word away and it suppresses it. They're overtaken by the cares of the life of this world. And this is what he's saying. The deceitfulness of riches, that's the pleasures of the world. They hear the word of God, but they're not surrendered to the word of God. They're not obedient to the word of God. They haven't turned in repentance and obedience and surrender to the things of God. They have heard it and they take it, but nothing happens. And then again, just like the other, where the word offends them, now the world comes in and it chokes away the things of the Lord. and they become unfruitful. There's no fruit in this particular seed, in this particular soil. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Now this is the fourth type of heart, if you would, the fourth type of people, the fourth type of a soil he mentions, the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. You're talking 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold over. You're talking about the seed of God that comes in, it takes root, and it begins to produce fruit. It produces fruit in the life of the believer. It works. It's not just a hearing. As James said, I was thinking about what James said in James chapter 1. This is not just a hearer, someone who came and heard the word of God and went away rejoicing for a short time. A person is choked out with the things of this world, but a person who hears and responds to it. James says this. This is a half-brother of the Lord. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding the natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He hears. There's a difference in listening and hearing. Sometimes someone will say something, and you understand this, whether it's on the job or what, and you hear, but you didn't get it. You weren't listening. You hear something, but you're not listening. This is what Jesus said. They had ears to hear with, but they could not hear. He's talking about the nation of Israel. They had eyes to see with, but they couldn't see. Isn't that something? You have eyes, but you can't see. Someone had asked Fanny Crosby, as I remember years ago, reading an article, said, what? You know, Fanny Crosby was blind. I'm thinking about Fanny Crosby. Yes, she's blind today. Her eyes are open in faith to the Lord. Helen Keller was the name I meant to bring. You remember Helen Keller was the blind lady that... I'm pretty sure I'm right on this thought that the Braille reading was a result of her blindness. But the question was asked, what is worse than being blind? What's worse than being blind? She said, having eyesight and not being able to see. As I remember, she had eyesight for a while before she lost her eyesight. Think about that in a spiritual term. What's worse than being spiritually blind? Having eyes to see with and not being able to see. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Again, we talk about the Word of God. We can read anything. Speaking of myself, we get caught up in an article here, there, and yon, and we can read that thing, and a lot of times, again, little articles say a 3-minute read, and we can sit there and read this thing for 30 minutes. And it doesn't seem like it was very long, but what about when you sit down to read the Bible? Or the Word of God. Oh boy, I'm in a hurry. I've got to go. What am I saying? I'm saying this is the eternal Word of God. It never will change. The stories will never change. Everything is the same, and they're written for a purpose. God has recorded. I've been reading through the life of David. It's kind of like John said about Jesus. Suppose all the things that the Lord had done had been written, the worlds, and I believe that the worlds could not contain that. Think about what Jesus did. Think about David. Just a few stories are told here and there and yon about David. But God specifically recorded those things in His Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we could see that this book that we read, other than Christ, is no perfect person. It's not say, read the Bible and become like one of those people. We read the Bible, we find out, boy, they're sinners. We can be like Christ in God's Word. We can have our sins forgiven as David has his forgiven. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet God honors him And he talks about Abraham, and we know the failures of Abraham. We see the failures of Isaac. We see the failures of mankind in general, but there's one who never failed, and that's Christ. And we see him, and we see what he expects for us to do and how to live. And we see the Word of God as being a seed that can be planted in a proper soil that can produce something that will last forever. And this is what he's saying. So the right kind of ground hears the Word of God, it receives it, and it brings forth fruit. It bears fruit. I want to read a definition I wrote down. I penned this one regarding the Greek word for that word bear. It means doing once for all the producing and bringing forth of something which, when produced, it has an independent existence of its own. That's a long statement once again. This doing the word, we're talking about bearing the word. The doing once for all, the producing and bringing forth something which when produced, think about one little seed going into the ground. And when it springs forth in its production, it has an independent existence of its own. It does something of its own. One seed. Someone has well said, I read this years ago, any fool can count the seeds in an apple. All you have to do is open it. Most any fool can count the seeds in an apple. But no man can count the apples in a seed but God. One seed, one tree, many apples, many seeds. Nobody knows how many seeds, how many apples can come forth from that one seed. You think about that. The Word of God being in you, the Word of God working in you, working through you, no telling what it can do. In this world, and people, we need this in the world in which we're living today. I didn't know a whole lot about this man who was shot this week. I haven't been following him. I've heard his name before. I really didn't know that much about him as many of you may have known. But I've read some of the articles since, and his devotion to the Lord, his faith in God. At the same time, we think sometimes our life is not a big deal, you know. We live in a small place, we're in a small community, we're in a small neighborhood, we're in a small part of this big world, but yet the Word of God is in our hearts and He's able to bear fruit through your life and mine. And we need not forget that. This is how He works. We are to be doers of the Word. Again, within our sphere, the sphere in which you and I live, there are certain people that God allows to cross our path. Sometimes once only. We meet someone, we'll never see them again. But what might we say to them and what might we do to them that would have an eternal effect on them? Think about that. That's what Jesus is speaking of, talking about the world and the things of God, how God works in and through this world. Paul, again writing, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, what is the gospel? It's the good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is His death, burial, and resurrection. That's how we become saved, by believing in Christ, depending on His work, being obedient to receive His word and become a believer. And once we do that, then the Holy Spirit within us, we have this gospel. And he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How is it hid to them that are lost? If it be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. In other words, we have this precious treasure in these earthen vessels. Our body, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it be hid, it's hid by Satan blinded the mind. It shouldn't be hid because we're not revealing it. That's what he's saying. We shouldn't be cloaking the gospel. We should be exposing it. And if they can't see it in your life, it's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. You wonder sometimes, why can you speak to this person about the Lord and they're receptive, and then you speak to this person about the Lord, they have nothing to do with it. They don't want to hear it. The God of this world has blinded their mind. We wonder how many times have they had an opportunity to hear the Word of God. I'm kind of like this. Don't misunderstand me. I want to talk to people that I've talked to and pray for people I've prayed for years. But who has the right to hear the gospel more than once when there are those who've never heard it the first time? Somebody said, quit preaching to the ones on the front row and reach the back. That's what we need, isn't it? We need to compel them to come in and have their ears open. I want to say this, folks, that I want you to know that we're in a church where we're not condemning people and sending them to hell. We want them to come and hear. I would never say anything and would never have the intention of you bringing and inviting someone here to turn them away. God, help us not to do that. Help us to preach the Word of God with love and with the Holy Spirit and with the conviction of the power of God. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, he has them blinded, lest they see. He doesn't want them to see. That's why, again, I think it's so important to get the children. We need to get the children. Get children. Reach them somehow while their minds are susceptible to the things of God before the God of this world blinds their minds through all of these devices in his programs. He's got this world programmed, and he's doing a good job, but he's a loser. And we are winners in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word will not return void. It is going to accomplish what he sets it forth to do. This is what Isaiah says in closing this morning, thinking about what the word in God says. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him, unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Sometimes we think this was too hard. He's a hard case. He's rejected the Lord. Let's not give up on him. Let's pray for the lost. Let's ask God to help us to be a witness with his word to those who are lost and in darkness. Amen. Let's stand together this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that the Word of God would fall on the soil that's been prepared. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to prepare the soil. Help us through the love and mercy of the Lord Jesus, Lord, to till the soul. As I think about the lost today, Lord, help us to work with the soul that's in our area where we can make a difference, dear Lord, in patience, in mercy, in love, preparing the soil that the seed may fall and make a difference. Father, I pray that you would not only make us farmers of the soil, but help us to bear fruit in our life as the seed grows in us. May others see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, we pray today, if there's one here this morning that has never received the word of God, today that word would hit the heart this morning, Lord, as it's been spoken, that it would take root and change the life, make a difference for eternity, and help us, those that are saved today, Lord, to be good farmers in watering the seed in others' lives dear Lord. And we'll thank you for all that you do. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.